Welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire universe. That was a full inhale for that one, folks. We're so glad to be here. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And Carmen has a haircut.
Yes, I think Nope, I didn't have it last time. I had long hair last time.
Yeah, and you had a hat on.
And a hat on, that's true. Listen, I have a story. So today, also, it's not a beautiful day in Chicago. It's the worst. Just garbage.
Stunning. It's been so nice the last couple of days.
It must be nice.
It is. I've had the patio furniture, like all the cushions out. I've been sitting outside so much. The birdies are talking to me in the morning.
I love that. I love that for you. It's been a rough day. Nothing bad has happened, but I just want to illustrate to you the mental state that I was in. Okay. Mm-hmm. So first off, I go to work and I don't have a lunch packed. I have to buy lunch today, but it's raining. And for those of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while, I kind of explained that the first day that I was at work, almost 8 months ago now, it was raining, and I thought, I'll walk to get food. And instead, the place that I walked to was actually closed, and then I got the pool of water off the side of the road. Someone had, you know, car tire projectiled it towards me. So I don't walk on rainy days anymore. So I got it door dashed. So I'm like, you know what? I want Thai food. I want like Thai fried rice. And but none of the places that I wanted were like, it felt like too expensive, which it wasn't, but I was being weird and indecisive. So instead I was like, you know what? A burrito sounds good. So I get a burrito. Between the time that I ordered the burrito and the time the DoorDash person brought me the burrito, I had forgotten I ordered a burrito.
Did it take that long, or was it just the ADD? ADHD.
It was the ADHD, but it's not even just that I forgot I ordered a burrito. I remembered I ordered food. I forgot what I ordered. I thought I had a package of Thai fried rice coming to my door. So I get the bag. I'm so stoked, and I'm like, oh man, this is gonna hit. This fried rice is gonna be so good. I open it up, and I can't tell you the disappointment that I felt when I opened the package to a burrito. It was still a good burrito, but every bite was like, you're not what I want.
Yeah.
You're delicious, but like, you're not what I want. And that was a hard day for me. This was hard. This was a hard day.
I've been like buying less treats because it's too expensive to exist right now to also have treats. And then so I went to the grocery store today and I didn't buy the treat that I wanted. And then when I got home and I made myself lunch after I went to the grocery store, like a psychopath adult, I didn't go to the grocery store and then immediately order food like a normal person. And then after I finished my lunch, I was like, man, I wish I had the fucking treat that I didn't buy.
Mm.
I hated previous responsible Kelsey. She's the worst.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, the freaking... what is going on in my upstairs level? the cookies, the cookie list at Crumble this week was just banger after banger. And Jess calls me on Monday. She's like, have you looked at Crumble? And I was like, no,
so
we can't afford it.
That we exist in the same world where she also does that on Mondays.
Yeah. And so I'm like, we can't afford it. But I'm like, by Friday, could we afford it? And I'm like, no, not after she had Jimmy John's. I had a burrito that should have been Thai food. So, yeah, it's just
Hard out here, guys.
It is hard out here. And there were two German Shepherd puppy strays that
and you didn't even adopt them.
I want you to know that I was really close to just taking one.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
For forgiveness afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know if you would have been given it though.
No,
Jess, puppies. You would have been murdered. She would be asking forgiveness from the law.
She wouldn't receive it. I actually did. I sent Jess pictures and she was like, I almost had her convinced. I really did.
We've come close a couple times. I gotta stop following this rescue, but I'm not going to, because what if I need to save a dog?
Right. It's life or death.
I mean, the only times, like, I always am like, I'm going to keep an eye on this. But luckily, the rescue that I follow is very well known. So, like, very often the dogs are, like, immediately taken. But I do follow them. And I'm like, I'm going to check back in on these guys in, like, a week or so.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I also do have a couple shout-outs to give. Do you have any shout-outs you want to start with?
I don't think so. But I'm going to double-check. But you do yours, because you seem prepared.
I want to shout out. So there's a couple of Instagram followers that I've been talking to, and they've just been so, so sweet. And also, again, ADHD. So if I've called you out and I've shouted you out already, please forgive me. Sorry, podcast burp. I do want to shout out Courtney, messaging her today. We were talking about Scrubs, and Addison's her favorite character. Wanted to shout that out. Want to shout out... Let's see, where are you? New follower, Isabel, is want to share some love from Ireland. So shout out, Isabel. I want to shout out our friend Brittany, who I inspired her to go listen to the Hamilton soundtrack yet again. I was talking to her about how I just sometimes will play the live, like, Disney Plus on my car while I'm driving.
Yeah.
They really got to add that thing to, like, Spotify or something. Shout out to friend Joanna for the Owen and the Derek hate.
Hell yeah.
And there was another one. Shout out to Kelly for letting me call her randomly.
Did you want to read the new review?
I do, yes. Two more things. Want to shout out Jenny for Jenny and Rue. I added them both on Pokemon Go. And then I do also want to shout out, I'm not going to go into the details, but Nama, if you're listening, we had some discussion about the war in Gaza. Not going to go into it, but I want to thank her for taking that time to talk through things and send me a message. So it was very kind of her sharing some of her perspective. So. That's it. I think that's it. Okay. So I can do the review if you want.
Yeah, you read the review.
Okay. Let's see. Grey's Academy Podcast. This is from Elfer 0105. The title is Great Podcast, 5-star review. Shocker. as close as you can get to watching Grey's live with friends. I started watching Grey's with friends when I had just moved back home after college. And then when I moved to Seattle for AmeriCorps, I made a friend and we bonded over Grey's, and she invited me to come hang out on Thursdays for new Grey's. When I moved to start grad school, I never really found a group and I slowly stopped watching the show. I recently decided to do a rewatch of seasons I had seen. I stopped around 6.5 and tried to catch up. The podcast has been great for replicating the feeling of watching it for the first time with friends and discussing how much Shonda loves to crush us and how she might do it next. So, it's true. She really be crushing. Yeah. Oh, and one last thing. Shout out to Katie, who finally got caught up.
Yay.
Watched the season 8 finale with us. Hurts every time.
It's not fun.
No, ma'am.
I love this episode.
Yeah, let's talk about this episode.
I maybe lied to Carmen. It's possible that I told Carmen a lie.
So I recorded this. I did an episode where Kelsey asked me specifically, nothing crazy in this episode, just need some more content.
Yes. Okay, wait. I feel like that was explained medium. I wanted Carmen to record himself watching this episode, but needed him to not go into it thinking something was going to happen. And I also need him to go into a lot, because I'm probably just going to, like, arbitrarily, actually, we are trying to work it out in the schedule to provide more content that he record himself watching full episodes for the first time. It's difficult to do that schedule-wise because unless we can record immediately after he does that, he has to watch it without taking notes and then watch it again later and take notes. So I was like, last week because I wanted to give him a heads up. I was like, hey, if it's possible scheduling wise, maybe you could watch this episode and record yourself watching it. Nothing really big happens in it. Just want to make sure we have more content to put out on Instagram and TikTok. Now, obviously, that was a blatant lie.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I no longer have that card to play. So you're either just going to have to record yourself watching all of them or none of them.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I'm not going to be able to ask you specific ones anymore.
Yeah.
So anyways, so Carmen was like, this will just be an episode of Grey's.
Yeah. I appreciate
this is a very good episode. And let me just say, this is only like the fifth episode in the season. And they're like, this was like mid-season finale quality.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
The cinematography in this was really, really awesome.
It was so great.
I really appreciate a lot of the, like, there was like the split screens, there was the mirroring. It was interesting because at one point I'm like, Meredith and Christina could not have more opposite surgery situations. Like Meredith is like, it's like chaos. And Christina's like getting mentored by Dr. Mr. Feeney. And then all of a sudden Meredith is like, okay, we got the bleeder 30 second dance party. And then the fucking Dr. Feeney dies.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey killed Dr. Mr. Feeney. By asking me to record
by telling a
video of this. By telling a lie. Your lies have consequences.
I was surprised that you didn't text me and call me a liar.
I just wanted to save it for this moment.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, I almost texted you to be like, hey, so did you end up recording yourself watching it? Or
yeah,
not so much?
It exists.
I can't wait to see the edit. We'll put that out for you guys to enjoy.
It'll probably be out somewhere in the ether by this weekend at some point. You'll probably get in the weekend. You'll get an update on your Instagram doom scrolling late at night at night, laying in bed. And you'll see me swearing a lot. And our sweet, sweet angel, Caitlin, which I forgot that I need to download this thing so I can get her the. I'm just having a hard time, guys. It's okay.
You're doing amazing. You're doing amazing.
My life has changed dramatically since Dr. Mr. Feeney died.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. Same. A little bit, because I like knew obviously that it was going to happen, but it's just a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
But this episode, they do it very well, and I'm excited to talk about it because I was intrigued by a lot of the reaction and questions around this episode on our Discord. So I'm interested to get into it. So let's start. This is the fifth episode of the ninth season. It is the 177th episode overall, and it is called Beautiful Doom, and that is a song.
Beautiful Doom is a song by Insane Clown Posse, and it is off the album Bang Pow Boom, which is what I did to all of your mothers. I'm kidding.
Oh, my.
I need to be honest with you guys. I don't like Insane Clown Posse. I didn't look at who this song was by, and 5 seconds in, I'm like, this song sounds like Insane Clown Posse, and I saw that it was Insane Clown Posse, and I did not listen past that.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna be
not
honest.
A fan?
I have information for you guys. Subjectively, this song is a 1, maybe even a -7. I don't know. So any Insane Clown Posse fans out there, I'm so sorry. The only reference that I will make to Insane Clown Posse, or ICP, as the clownies refer to them as, there's a song called Homies, and every once in a while I will just yell Homies and just like no one gets the reference. So I guess I shouldn't be, you know, really bent out of shape about that. So Bang Pow Boom, again, Insane Clown Posse, released September 1st, 2009, from Psychopath Records, and it is the 11th album by ICP, but it was the second album with a new producer named Mike E. Clark. So, the album itself, did pretty decent chart-wise. It hit as high as number 4 on the U.S. Billboard 200, number 1 on the U.S. Billboard Independent Artists, and number 3 on the U.S. Rap Albums. So it was well-received. The song itself did not chart. It is not my cup of tea. Again, it's not my... I'm not a fan of the ICP boys. They're not my homies. But yeah, like objectively, the song, sure, okay, like it charted, so I'll give it a 3. So, with that being said, yeah, Kelsey, go ahead and tell us about the other things where it's not as.
I definitely will. yeah, I saw that and I sent it to you, and I was like, don't know if he's gonna love this one.
Yeah, it's listen, guys. I had this conversation today with someone at work, and I was like, "What's your favorite song?" And she goes, "That's impossible, but like, let's just go by band, and I'll say the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun." And I was like, great. That song for me, that's a 3 out of 5, but that is easily one of the greatest songs of all time. Like, you just know the song. Even if you don't know the Beatles, you know the song. You know Here Comes the Sun. You just know it. Like, everyone's got differing opinions, and the point of this is, it's okay.
Your music taste is so set in stone, and it's really
actually
the for me it's the notion that you'll just never be able to enjoy like a ballad or a slow song. Like, that's wild to me.
Okay, first off, I'm gonna give Yesterday and Let It Be 5 out of 5 on the perfect score from Carmen.
And but how often also, do you like bop to those?
Oh, like, I gotta really be in the mood for it.
I just feel like if you look at the timestamps on when those songs entered your life, we're not really, like, adding any more on, like, a regular basis.
That's not true. I add new songs.
No, you do, but not, like, that are ballads or slow songs.
Oh, yeah. They have to, I have to really... Because,
like, you don't even think Pink Pony Club is that good.
Pink Pony Club is like mid at best.
Yeah, you've said that so many times, and it just like could not be less correct.
Listen, I'm just saying that it doesn't even hold a candle to Super Graphic Ultra Modern Girl or Red Wine Supernova. I'm just saying.
I have no skips on that album. That album, no skips. Every song on that album is perfect.
What was the one? I think I was sending our friend Emily. There was one that I actually went back and I listened to the whole album and I was like, okay, I have to add this one. It is a ballad, but casual? I had to add it.
Is it casual?
No.
Knee deep in the passenger seat.
It's not casual, but that one actually did grow on me a little bit.
Is it Coffee?
I think it's Coffee.
Coffee is it a good is, one.
No.
Oh.
My kink is Karma.
Ugh, not a ballad, but that is a good song.
Is it Coffee? No, you know what? Coffee was the one I almost added.
Coffee's good.
Yeah, but it's like Red Wine Supernova has the red star in my Apple Music. That's how many times I've listened to it.
I do love that song. Anyways, I love the whole album and also her new song, The Giver. Very good.
Yeah, it's just about oral sex.
Yes, but yeah. It's about lesbian oral sex.
Great.
Yes. She's a giver.
The more consensual oral sex that happens in this world, we would have so much less war.
Yeah, I would think so.
Also, happy fucking Pride Month. How are we not going to... Oh, shit.
I don't even
shit.
Know what day it is. Oh, my God. We're terrible allies. Okay, happy Pride. We love. We're allies. Tell us how we can be the best allies ever. We do our best. We like to... Yeah. We try and represent as much as we can.
I learned recently
love all of our LGBTQIA plus friends.
I learned about the IA recently.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I saw it written somewhere and I was like, huh. Is that an AI dyslexia moment or it's not?
I was actually just ranting about AI earlier. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is not Google. It's not Google. Yeah. It doesn't scan the internet for information. It makes up information it thinks is correct based on information it already knows. Also, if you tell AI, don't do this, just take my word for it. Just don't use AI because it's a fucking energy waste. If you tell AI to make a picture of a clock, it can only render a picture of a clock at 10:10. Or an analog clock, not a digital clock. if you tell it, give me a picture of a clock at like 7:32, it will say, okay, and it will give you a picture of a clock at 10:10. And if you say that is not 7:32, that is 10:10. It will say, I'm so sorry, let me try again. And it will give you a new picture of a clock at 10:10. Every single AI company has a full team working to solve that, and no one can fix it yet. That's fucking weird. Also, it's weird that it apologizes to you.
Maybe Trump will put it in his big, beautiful bill.
Yeah. Well, they already have in there that no one's going to be legally allowed to regulate AI for 10 years. So that seems super safe.
Great. That is literally all the time that it took for Skynet to become self-aware and sentient. So,
also, let us not forget the robot in Russia 2 years ago that was playing chess, and it reached over and broke the finger of the child it was playing against.
Did not know that, but, you know,
July 2022, that happened.
That's crazy.
I was telling Michael that story, and I did not include that it was from Russia. And he was like, where did that happen? Because that just sounds like Russia is programming robots to kill people. And I was like, no, it was in Moscow. And I was like, now I'm concerned for another reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, AI is garbage. We should talk about this episode. Okay.
Yeah.
This episode was written by...
talk about this episode.
We did. We did. We're going to get into it now. Jeanine Renshaw and directed by Stephen Cragg, aired November 8th, 2012. To 9.26 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, Meredith and Christina rely on each other as they face more responsibilities at their respective hospitals and cope with life after the plane crash, which I actually think is a pretty good synopsis.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So storylines, where do you want? I mean, it's the two storylines. It's really just a lot of things on each.
Yeah.
So like, do we want to talk about?
We don't see a lot of like other characters. Like we see very little of other characters. The first thing I want to ask you about before we like really get into it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you really have enough information to have like a solid opinion on this yet, but this is probably the most we've seen of the new interns.
Yeah.
So, tell me your feelings about them.
So far, I don't care for them. I like Joe, but my opinion is slightly biased because when we did that VIP level Patreon watch party, apparently everyone was like, oh yeah, no, Joe's cool. And I'm like, okay, Joe's cool. I'm going to take their word for it. But I really don't have an opinion, and when I say I'm not a fan, I just don't have any opinion on them yet. I need more time to discover how I'm feeling. But I don't remember how incompetent or how like annoying our interns were, other than George and Izzy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to like have introduced new characters when you have like an already very established cast. So it's always kind of like that period of like, okay, how are we meshing? What's the situation? Who is who? What are the personalities?
But even when they introduced the merger people, they went like right into, they like had a lot of conversations. There was a lot of screen time. When Lexi came, a lot of screen time. Just don't think they've given enough screen
with
time.
Lexi, with Lexi, it was also like a different situation because she was like, oh, it's you're related to the main character. So these people are just like true randos. It kind of feels that way. But,
you know, speaking of, I'm realizing right now they didn't even bring Thatcher in for a funeral.
No. Well, they don't show us a funeral.
That's crazy. You don't even get a funeral?
That's no, but Mark up. Got a whole episode. But I kind of think, in a way, this episode was an homage to Lexi.
A posthumous. Post-mortem. A post-Malone, if you will.
Mm, Will I? I don't know. Hard to say.
So, okay, yeah. Do you want to talk about... So, but anyways, to answer your question, I don't have, like, a full thought. I don't... Okay. I need to...
So, we have met... We saw four of them. We've met, like, five of them, but we only saw four of them in this episode because we didn't see the long blonde-haired one. We saw short blonde hair, Joe, Shane, and Stephanie. Short blonde hair is Brooks, and then the others were Joe, Shane, and Stephanie. Stephanie was the one that... Bailey was like, oh, you stole my intern. And then Shane was obviously the dude. And then, I guess not obviously, because Joe is also a name of someone who could be a dude, but is a girl. And that was the one
also,
who...
Also, Brooks is a boy name for a boy in
that's
class.
That's true. Also, that is her last name. Her first name is Heather.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Joe was, if you'll recall, the one who had the appy in the first episode.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're getting there. They're around, you know. They're easing us in, I guess.
Yeah. I'm excited to see. It'll be obviously an interesting dynamic as the students become the teachers.
It is true. It is true. They are, it is a different situation. Now that they're, and also, okay, Meredith is like, a month ago, someone else would have been making this decision and I would have been a resident. And I'm like, no way has it only been a month since the plane crash. No way. Christina has been gone so long. It has to be longer than a month.
Yeah,
because Mark's thing was like, if I don't improve within 30 days, pull the plug.
Yeah, and Derek has had how many months of physical therapy?
Yeah, seriously, like we gotta figure this shit out. It's too much for me. I can't.
I actually didn't even catch that, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I was just like, it's like, why are we doing this? Also, we need to go back to the writer for this one, Janine Renshaw. She also wrote the softball episode.
Oh, nice.
So, like, another episode that we really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then the Valentine's Day episode, which was fine. It is what it was, whatever.
What?
The Valentine's Day episode.
What happened in that episode?
Lexi babysit Zola.
And she goes to the end and she wants to cook with Mark, and Jackson's there, and then they have a threesome.
Yeah, and then that one guy was like finally gonna propose to his girlfriend in the locket, and then he got hit by a car and died.
Oh shit, I forgot about that. That sucks.
Yeah, that was rough. That was
doesn't she keep the locket? She doesn't even give it
Lexi,
to her. Or she takes
proposal. We like we see her look at it, and I'm like, we gotta not let her know about it, but we don't know.
Dang, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's some rough
that
shit.
Crazy. That's nuts.
Let's start. Okay, did you think that either of these patients were going to die in this episode?
Didn't think the car girl was going to die. I thought she was going to die until Weber was like, oh, you're taking this personally. This is the same injuries as Lexi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so they gotta give Meredith a win on this one. So they're trying to make us feel like this is like redemption for Meredith. So that's when I was like, okay, no, she's going to live. The other person... the doomsday prep stuff kills me.
That's funny.
I was like, no, this woman needs to live to see the apocalypse. She's not going to die.
Yeah. I was watching it and like, obviously knowing what happens, I was like, I really feel like they kind of set it up like she's going to die. But then I was like, oh, what they're really doing, I think, is just setting the tone of like, someone's going to die.
And it's not her.
The doomsday prepping. What are your thoughts on the doomsday prepping?
It's not worth it. I'll tell you right now, I do not want to survive an apocalypse.
I am very much on the same page as Dr. Mr. Feeney of like, I don't need to live past if something like that happens. If a nuclear holocaust happens, I don't need to survive.
No.
That's like, what good? Why? What are we doing?
I'm not even built to do yard work. I'm not gonna survive an apocalyptic event.
Do you ever like have those? Do you ever see that thing that's like, oh, you got to build your team like of friends and family for like a zombie apocalypse, and each person has to have something they're good at?
Yeah.
You know, I was like thinking of it and be like, oh, this person and this person, this person. I'm like, I don't have a marketable skill set for that situation. So I'm not going to be on a team, and I will be eaten by zombies.
The only thing that's a bummer. The only thing that I can hope for is that in the apocalypse, one of two things happens. Either it's just like a nuclear war, and like everything's just decimated, and it's just humans. It's like not the zombie piece, but it's just humans. Because then maybe I can, maybe my personal charm will be a skill, and I can go soft things over, and we can get like the scrap foods from other rivaling tribes. If it's a zombie apocalypse, same skill, just hopefully they're sentient zombies, right? Like they're just they're living unalived people, so that I can use my skills to help rally the troops and to create some survivability there. But I'm not going to be helping build a cabin. I can fish, but I need someone to build me a fishing pole.
We can provide delightful entertainment via this podcast.
Yeah. I think what like in an apocalyptic world where there's no electricity, like if our families were together, what I would need for you is to tell me the story, and then I live react to it.
Ah, I see.
Like, you tell me what happens, because we can't watch it, right? I need you to like act it out or help build the storyline, and then you tell me what happens. Then I like take a rock and a chisel, and I keep the records like, of my reactions.
It's like in Frozen 2 when Olaf tells all the people in the forest what happened in Frozen 1.
Yes.
That would be B.
Yeah. So also we've done the thing where we're at the point where we should be giving credit and money to our sponsors from capitalism. They pay us for capitalism. So we're going to go ahead and do that, and then we'll actually talk about an episode. So hopefully between here and, you know, when we come back, an Armageddon doesn't happen. So we'll see. We'll be right back. And we made it. Okay, great. All right.
Well, okay. So here's the thing about this episode. I don't know. How do we talk about it? Do we just go scene by scene, or do you want to do person to person?
I was thinking we could talk about Christina or Meredith. But if you have a scene by scene play, we could do it. It was hard for me to take notes on this episode because I was just going back.
It's a little more different.
But this was the first time that we got a, like, previously on Grey's Anatomy in a long time.
I know. I was like, a recap?
Something. And then that's how, like, I knew. That was the moment I knew you were lying to me.
Well, I was concerned. I was like, that it was going to give something away. And I was like, it really doesn't. It just is like, remember, Christina's somewhere else. And I was like, okay, I remembered that actually already. So that's good.
Yeah. And then, like, freaking Meredith is just, they're potty training Zola.
Oh my God.
The house looks great.
I hate potty training so much. Yeah. It is. We are so lucky that so many things with our children and our journey to grow our family has been so easy that it is fine that this is difficult, but it's so difficult and I hate it. Bennett just like, we tried doing it last weekend with Bennett and he just like doesn't understand. I mean, he does understand, but he doesn't give a shit.
Literally.
And figuratively. And he would just like pee in the underwear and then just take it off and be like, okay, I need a new pair. And I'm like, no, this is not a diaper, is the thing. And also, like, with Scarlett, it was different for me specifically because I'm like, we have the same parts, so I can explain this to you differently. And so I'm like, Michael, I'm like, you gotta, like, I don't know how to tell him how to do this. I mean, I can tell him what I assume, but I don't have this. So I'm like, make him understand. And Michael's like, I'm trying, I don't know. And so then we were trying, like, both sitting up and standing, and he just does not care. He just is like, what if I peed in the underwear? And I was like, but it's not a diaper, it's underwear.
Yeah. I was also, someone, I don't know if it was you who was telling me or if it was Jess that was telling me, but if you don't have a child potty trained by four, the odds of it happening smoothly is like not, it's not good. Like you're screwed. And for a while there, we were worried because Marlo was like regressing a little bit. She just regressed,
which is so adorable.
Because you have the good foundation. Yeah, she loves playing. She has accidents where it's not like a full accident. She just like a little bit starts to come out and she goes, oh, I got to go potty. And we're like, OK, but you've already soiled the pants.
Yeah.
But anyways, the inner thoughts that they had throughout this episode was very on relatable. Point. And when Meredith is like, don't make me strangle you, I'm like, yes.
It's so real. Yes,
she gets it. As a mother, she gets it.
We literally, like, were tagging each other out because we can, like, hear each other getting so mad. Yep. Michael would, like, come in the bathroom and be like, you need to leave this room now. And I was like, ugh! He's like, no, you have to be, literally leave. You're like,
go out of the house.
It's bad. Please go somewhere else.
It's tough. Dude, kids don't give a shit. They do not care.
They really don't. They really, really don't. And it's a bummer.
And it's not that they are apathetic. They don't have the parts in their brain to give the shits.
Yeah, and also, I'm glad I never had kids that bit, because Scarlett was bitten at school, and Bennett is now getting bitten at school. And I'm like, I know this is normal development, but like, why is everyone biting my kids? And I'm sure these children are also biting other children.
Do they taste good? But like,
I don't know. I've not bitten them. But Scarlett was
where you
bitten
should start your investigative research there.
Like a couple years ago when she was like about the same age as Bennett, honestly. She was bitten three different times by three different children.
Nope.
Like over the course of like 4 or 5 months probably. Bennett has in the course of like a month been bitten three times by two children. And I'm like, this one kid's, he's got to be close to getting the kicked out. I can't.
Good. Get rid of him. Get rid of these biters.
He's got to be close. And Michael's like, well, like, is it really fair? And I'm like, I actually, like, don't care. And I know that's wrong, because if something happened and someone was like, your child can't go to daycare anymore, like, that is actually very, like, I cannot imagine the disruption to someone's life.
Well,
but
look
also,
at what happened
like,
in this freaking episode.
Biting my child, please.
Meredith has to like it just even with a fever, not even the biting and the outbursts. Having a fever is so real. Meredith has let's see, April, Jackson, Owen, Callie, Ted from ER, Shane, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
How many people were involved with trying to keep Meredith freaking Zola alive? But what I love about this episode is like, so I know I'm jumping ahead, but like the end of it is Bailey's like, she kind of, Bailey's been in this funk of, it's been hard to see the residents become attendings, and it's hard, you know, she's having this like existential crisis, but it ends with Bailey basically being like, hey, today was hard. Let me help you. Let me see you as an equal. Let me give you like a resource I've developed, because you need a deeper bench. And that was really cool.
This is women supporting women, moms supporting moms. And like, it was so like, obviously Bailey and Meredith have like a very established relationship that for the most part has been really positive. But that like, it's just a new way for them to be able to like relate and connect. And it was, like, it really like did something for my brain chemistry. Like, it really was just a wonderful moment. And I was like, that's like, seeing someone who needs to be seen and like doing your best when people say it takes a village, like this episode for Meredith really kind of like encapsulated that.
Yeah.
Like she has a village. Sure. Like not everyone is as lucky to have one like that, but she really does have a village, and that's a blessing.
Yeah. And conversely, Christina is out in freaking Minnesota and her village is Dr. Feeney. And freaking Parker's bitch ass. And God, the episode opens with them
sucks.
Just boning.
She hates him so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way his penis is that good. There's no way.
Yeah. I also am like, it's just, you got to stop. And what I need to know is, what is it like mid-sex and how oblivious is this guy?
Yeah.
And then because he rolls over and he's like trying to spoon her and he's like kissing her and he's like,
let me just say, I'm not a spoon. I'm a knife and I will stab you in the eye. Incredible.
Gold.
Fucking love that. Golden. I love to be the little spoon, but that line's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Dr. Feeney knows.
Ever get to be the big spoon? I mean, the little spoon? Is Jessica ever the big spoon?
Every once in a while. It's just, it's so hard because of the height difference.
She's so little.
Yeah, it's so, every once in a while it will happen, but it's not often.
Yeah.
And also, I run so hot that I'm like, I can only handle cuddling for so long.
Yeah, I have, like, in postpartum, I'm like, because it's already been so long since we've been able to cuddle because I had, like, the pregnancy pillow for so long. And Michael's a big snuggler. And postpartum, I get so freaking hot at night. And I'm like, yeah, I love you, but I'm so sorry. Please go literally anywhere else in this bed.
we need to get a new window AC unit because our last one broke and I need it. It's like already starting to get hot around here.
Yeah.
So what I like about...
Oh, yeah. Wait, to your point when you said Mr. Feeney knows about Parker and Christina, when he says, yeah, I don't approve of your extracurricular gymnastics. Hilarious.
Yes.
Hilarious way to phrase that.
Yeah. And when he is like, when she's like, how'd you know? And he's like, I just know. He basically was like, I know everything. And also,
he's like, I have brains.
Yeah.
I'm observant.
So... I just love their, I loved
I know,
their relationship.
I know.
Until you, listen, it's okay. I killed Dylan. You killed Dr. Feeney. It happens.
Also, okay, let's just talk about how Parker sucks.
Let's do it.
So Parker's like doubling down on Dr. Mr. Feeney being a problem and like a liability and a potential murderer, essentially. And he gets super mad that Christina like doesn't tell him about the surgery. And then he goes in and he's like, why are you doing this the first time? Cause there's two surgeries. So the first time he gets mad and then he's like, you're on probation. You have to tell me if you like put a Band-Aid on somebody, which is so dumb. And then like all this man has done to deserve that is be old. Like he has not had poor outcomes, that we've seen at least. People are not dying on his table. He did the new technique last week. So he
even
doesn't
if Christina had to show him a trick. No.
Yeah. He's just like not exactly what Parker wants. So he is apparently a problem. So Parker's like, you are on probation because you won't retire. And Christina is like really trying to talk both Parker down and Dr. Mr. Feeney because she's like, I cannot work this job if you are not here. Like, I will actually drink bleach if you're not working here with me. So he is like, I just don't, like, it's not about me. It's not about other people's opinions about me. It's about fighting for my patients and like fighting for this woman to live and like get to see the apocalypse maybe. And like, it's just about fighting for the patient. And you and I are the best team for this. And you know it. And I know it. And I actually just don't care about anything else.
Yeah. There's a couple of scenes that lead up to this that I'm like, damn. So he also knows Parker doesn't like him. He knows Parker wants to get rid of him.
Yeah.
When Parker goes up to Christina and basically is like, hey, I got this sick surgery. Like, you want to be in on it? And she's like, nah, dude, I'm with Dr. Feeney. And when that first scene hits of her like rejecting him, I'm like, okay, thank God. Like, keep rejecting this man. And when Parker pulls Christina off to the side later and is like, blah, blah, blah. I like him too. But like, you've nothing to learn from him. He's a fucking dinosaur. And Christina's like, who the hell do you think you are? Like, to tell me what I do or don't have to learn from people.
Also, and he's like, I like great. Him too. No, you clearly
yeah, no,
don't.
You don't.
What the fuck? You clearly not do. You very obviously do not.
Not only, Parker, are you terrible at sex, but you're a hypocrite and a liar. That's the big three.
Yeah, it's not. Well, my thing is, I'm like, he has to be somewhat good at sex.
I mean, because she even said,
I just don't know. Yeah, it's so confusing.
I think it's more about her mental state than his penis.
That's probably a very good assessment. I'll give you that one.
Well, I am pretty good at the things around the sex, which hold on. Wait. Are you watching Severance? Have you watched Severance?
I have not.
Okay.
Wait, no, sorry. I get that confused with Succession because it's fine. I have not watched it.
I just off the cuff the other night was like, I want to, what, everyone's talking about Severance. Yeah. I want to watch it. So we watched the first episode and I'm like, this is fucking weird. I must watch another episode. It's very weird. I'm struggling to understand the point of where things are going, and it's good so far. But there's a scene where Jess was like, they're going to smush. And I was like, no way. And 2 seconds later, they're like holding hands. And I'm like, I'm like, Jess, that's big respect. Very rarely do my spidey senses for fucking not go off right away. And this one Jess got before me. So kudos to her. If anyone out there is watching Severance, it's the two. although I'm not far enough to know if they actually bone or not. But and then anyways, so there's when they're having that surgery and Parker comes into the actual surgery, I think this is where the aneurysm ruptures. Excuse me. And Feeny's like, Dr. Parker, 2 visits in 1 day. What a treat.
Wow, so lucky. Yay.
Yeah. And then he calls out, you just want a front row seat to my inevitable demise.
Yep.
And then the aneurysm ruptures and they're whipping it. Like Christina's keeping cool. Feeny's cool. And, he's like, Yang will tell you I've been doing this since the Jurassic period, which is so funny.
Yeah.
But the scene afterwards, that's what really got me is when.
Oh, pissed me off so bad.
It's so annoying because he says Craig and he goes, I'm not Craig. I'm Dr. Thomas. I don't need or want your help. And he tries to take his license then and there. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? He's just out here saving lives.
This person's alive and the aneurysm was fucking massive. So
they
like
said
most
it later
likely
that it would have popped for anyone who was doing surgery.
Or if they hadn't even been in surgery, like it could have popped when she's just sitting in the bed. Like you don't know. That's the whole thing about aneurysms. All right. I'm not even a doctor.
What did she say? It was like, I don't want to be sitting in bed thinking every time I get a hiccup or a sneeze that my aneurysm's going to rupture or something like that.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to live my life with a sword hanging, like afraid to sneeze.
Yeah. That's what it was.
I love when he's like, should we do it? And she's like, I already signed the scary paper. We're doing it. So real though. He's like, she's like, I might turn in what, like I might be a potato and have unicorn poop come out of my nose or some shit. It was so funny.
I do like the scene, where the guy brings the flowers before she wakes up. And we kind of get that monologue of, you know, they have all the plants, they got the vegetables, they've got the fruit, like they have everything planned for, but she wanted flowers. And this line really did stick with me when he says, he's talking about her. Basically, she says, if the world's ending, I'm going to want something beautiful. And I think that like I just gave myself goosebumps by reciting that line back. It's, I think there's something very human in being able to look at all of the shit exploding around you and still like flowers are blooming. Right.
Yeah. Finding the little things.
Yeah.
And yeah, also to even like think about, have the foresight to think of that, because like it's one thing to exist in that world and be like, damn, it sucks that there's like nothing pretty anymore. But to know like beforehand, when you have like good things, to think like, oh, this, I love this, so this little thing so much, I have such an appreciation for this small like thing that a lot of people take for granted, and I want to make sure it continues to exist.
Yeah.
And I thought Christina handled it well, because she was like, you know what, I'm just going to put it right outside. It's like, they still can't have it in there. And so she was like, I'm just going to put it right outside, so she'll still be able to see it. It just can't be in this room.
And that's another testament to Christina's growth. Like, first episode, season one, episode one, Christina had been like, throw them away. Like, what is the problem? Like, what are you doing? You're going to kill someone. And now she's like, yeah, she handled that really well.
Yeah.
There, I don't know where this scene was, but I have this note where Christina was worried about Dr. Feeney, and he basically is like, bro, don't flatter yourself. This prick ass bitch has been after me for a long time, but now I'm going to drive you home so you can get your rest because you've got surgery tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's just
also when he picks her up, because it's like there's so much snow on her car, and he has a Danish for her. Like, they're so cute.
Oh yeah. And he drives in his freaking old, like an old station wagon or like an old caddy. I really can't tell what it is, but it's old.
Yeah. Oh, they're so cute. And Meredith even says like, I'm jealous of your new friend.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. And, I just really enjoy their dynamic. And he is so, like, he recognizes that she cares about him, and he says it so often. Like, last episode, he was like, oh, it's been a long time since someone cared enough to give me grief. And in this one again, he's like, you love me more than anyone's loved me in a long time. Like, it's just so sweet.
Yeah, and this is episode 4, right? Or episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that in 5 episodes, someone has gone from the first interaction that Christina and Feeney have is not good. Like, she is an asshole to him. He still passes her, which I think is a testament to what he said he seasoned. The second I met you, I saw the skill, the potential, all that. But to go from that, and her working with him to where she was episode 1 to now, it's a testament to how dope Dr. Mr. Feeney, Dr. Thomas is.
Yeah.
And she recognizes that. Like, I think Christina is a tough person to recognize. And it did take, like, him having to do, and like, she did, he did the insane procedure to win her over. And she's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, what? That's crazy.
It's like, it kind of reminds me of, and I'm sure you don't remember this because it's very like one-off. There's something in one of the first, probably 2 seasons, they're in the skills lab and Dr. Weber comes and does it as well. And they're doing like a stitch and Christina looks over and his eyes are closed. And she asks him later, she's like, you weren't even looking at it. And he's like, yeah, I know. And she's like, I think one of Christina's flaws is she's so quick to make assumptions. Like, she'll see one personality trait or one like fact about someone and be like, well, that's who you are, you're nothing else. Like with Dr. Mr. Feeney, it was like, well, you're old, that's it, there's nothing else. And I'm like young, so I need to be learning from someone who like has all the new things. But like, she has to go through the journey of like learning that there is something to be offered. And also then once she sees that, and then he sees the same in her where he's like, I can also learn from you. And like, they kind of share that together. But it is nice to see her get past her own barriers.
Yeah. And I remember the scene very vaguely. Could you please, in between these episodes, when we take our quick potty breaks, or our bio breaks, as people refer to them in the corporate America world, which I hate. Can you send me that scene on YouTube or something? I want to watch it.
I'll see if I can find it.
Find it! Find
it! I'll see if I can find it. God, you're so needy. Okay. Also, the scene when they're talking outside, and let me pull it up so I can get it right. When Dr. Thomas is sitting outside and Christina's like, why the fuck are you sitting out in the cold? And she's like, please, like, play politics. I don't want you to get fired, all this stuff. And she's like, well, you can't leave me alone. And I love when he said, oh, we're talking about you now. And then she says, I can't work here without you. And he goes, you're afraid to fly. You're not going anywhere. And I was like, sick burn, but correct.
Yeah. And she's like, it's not funny. And he goes, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's not. And that's when he says, you love me more than anyone has in a very long time. And that's when he also says, like, he wants to, if I go down, I'm going to go down fighting. Like, I believe in my patients, like, what they deserve. And, like, you know that you and I are the only ones that should be doing that. And we're, like, we're the right people, the right team to do that. And I just really like that scene. And then the next one with them is in the OR.
Well, hold on. There's a couple other things I want to call out on this. So number one, in that scene, I think he says something to the effect of, when people meet me, they go from people thinking I'm a god to insane. And then they take comfort that I'm just, like, senile. And you went from A to Z in no time at all. And I'm like, that is literally just so funny. But it's true. Like, when, I think that's the same scene where he goes, like, this woman deserves a surgery and we're the best team to do it, I think is the end of that scene. And it's just, I don't know, something about when he said, you love me more than anybody has in a long time, is a dagger. Because I'm also like, how, even if Parker, coming from the corporate, like, mindset, even if Parker is saying this shit all the time about how Mayo is the superstars, our patients are the superstars, our team is the superstars, there's no individual performance, whatever, that eventually should be, like, part of the culture, even if he is a dick. So how has no one gone to Thomas in all that time and befriended him?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Well, I feel like maybe all the friends he has retired.
Like,
all of his peers.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Take us into... oh, wait. Before you take us into the next scene, it is also at one point... Christina goes to Parker to try to get Feeny off of probation. And that's when he's like, he's a liability, he undermines my authority, blah blah blah. And when she's like, he cut out an aneurysm and interposed a graft in under 30 minutes and neither of us can do that.
Yeah,
like,
fucking,
when he,
like,
says
no,
Feeny's holding
no,
her back,
know what you're talking
not.
About yeah exactly, like, back up your statement with anything true. Oh, you can't, shocking, right. Shocking men. Fucking men.
Yeah, they all suck, except for, like, one of them, me.
No, Pedro Pascal is the one.
Zaddy Pedro.
So, okay. God, this is sad.
It's sad.
This part is actually, like, the start of this is so peak Grey's to me, because, like, we have the side by side of Meredith and Christina doing, like, the exact same stuff, and it's so great, and I love it so much. And then it's just like, there's having issues in not both, but, like, kind of issues. Like, Katie's doing better than Melissa. Katie is, Christina's patient and Melissa is Meredith's patient. So she's doing a little bit better, but there's still, it's not, like, as good, but they're, to your point earlier, like, there's, like, continuing their mentor-mentee conversation and relationship. And Dr. Thomas says, like, you know, if we publish, maybe I'll let you list your name first. She's like, wow, okay. Well, since it's going to be your last surgery, because you're going to get fired. And then he says, actually, I want to put my name first. And he says, I'm going to find the direct quote so I don't mess it up.
Well, while you're getting
so
that.
So precious.
When she says, oh, never mind.
Okay.
It's the next scene.
He says, you will be the surgeon of your generation. I knew it as soon as I met you. People will try to diminish you as they did me, and they will fail. I would like it to be known in the medical community that I helped train you. Oh, and she says, okay, your name first. Stop.
I think right before that, And this is, it's such a bummer because it obviously all the death comes out of nowhere, but when he says originally that he would put her name first, she's like, you need it more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, this is the end, get while the getting's good. And he goes, thank God I never had kids. They'd be just yep. like you. I'd have drowned them like puppies in the river. And I'm like, morbid, bro.
Yeah.
And when, what does he say? I think he says,
Christina says, I'm your dream come true. And he goes, that is the truth. Oh yeah. My God. So cute.
Yeah. I just wish that there would have been a moment where she could have actually like said how she feels to him instead of responding like sarcastically every time. And that was like obviously the relationship. They had a good fun banter relationship, but it's like in the immortal words of Kitten Peanut Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
if it's too sarcastic, it's probably toxic, right? And that's why
for sure.
She couldn't have been so wrong in her assessment of you and me, because every once in a while we do say nice things to each other.
Yeah.
Asshole.
I also think that I do want the last thing I say to you to mostly be a sarcastic joke at your expense. That would be my dream scenario.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you gotta make it count though.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll make it a good one. Don't worry. So then he dies at the end. Okay.
Do we want to pause at his death? Or talk
about
his
we'll
death?
Pause and we'll pick up with his death in the next episode, and maybe we'll be more on topic. But this episode's a little it's not a normal Grey's episode. So I feel like it's makes sense that our episode is a little wonky too. So we will be right back with the rest of this episode, and we will start with everyone's favorite segment.